Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
Turn to your neighbor, and says, it's just getting started. Now turn to the other neighbor who you so kindly neglected and gave the cold shoulder to in church and say, this message is for you. This message is for you. There's two things before I get into my message that I want to talk to you guys about. The first one is, this ministry exists not to see through you, but to see you through. We say this at Thrive, man, you come as you are. And God will meet you exactly where you're at. And the powerful thing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit is He loves you so much that He'll meet you where you're at, but He loves you too much to keep you where you're at. So know that you just come as you are. You don't have to put on a mask. You don't have to put on this religious mask and say, you know what? My life's perfectly put together. Guess what? My life is not. As your leader, I have flaws. I have things that I'm working on, mistakes and weaknesses. So you come as you are, and God will meet you where you're at. The second thing is, everybody needs to know that you belong here. You don't have to believe what we believe to belong here, but you continue to come back and let us love on you and watch God transform your heart. Let us love you, let us take care of you, let us hang out with you and show you what a relationship with Jesus looks like. See, God wants to do something amazing in your life tonight. And the reason He wants to do something amazing and great in your life tonight is so He can do something amazing and great through your life. So tonight, I want to talk to you guys very briefly about purpose. And when I mention this word purpose, a lot of us have different mixed emotions and thoughts that are tied to this word. For some, we have this sense of uncertainty and doubt and worry and fear, and it cripples us in our past. For others, when I mention the word purpose, you get a sense of joy and peace and excitement and anticipation about the future. But there's something that you guys need to know about purpose that you might not know right now. Purpose is not a destination. Purpose is not a place or a position. Purpose is a process. The joy is where the journey is. Touch five people right now and say, the joy is where the journey is. Touch five people. The joy is where the journey is. The joy is where the journey is. Come on, five people. Touch them. Let them know. The joy is in the journey. Your purpose is taking one step forward towards God. Your purpose is saying yes and be obedient to what God is asking of you next. So your purpose, it's not this far-off thing that you have to achieve and strive for. Your purpose is here and now. And God wants you to know, in order for you to fulfill His God-given purpose in your life, you have to be where God is calling you to be. You got to do what God is calling you to do. And you have to become who God is calling you to become. 4 years ago, I came on staff, and I wasn't in this position. I wasn't overseeing our high school and young adults, but I came on staff. And a lot of people were saying, Zach, are you sure you're in the will of God? Are you sure you're taking your next step? Or is that the right next step for you? See, what you guys need to know is I was a janitor part-time here. Like, they called me the professional cleaner. Basically, it was their nice way of saying, Zach, you're going to clean all the toilets and everything in this facility. And people were questioning, like, Zach, you're in medical sales. Why are you doing that and also being a janitor at the church? And all I know is God told me to do it, so I was being obedient. And on the first day, this is hilarious, on the first day, I have my little radio, and I call, hey, is a janitor here? You know those people that like think they're better than you because they have a position above you? Well, this guy calls in, he's like, hey, where's the janitor at? And I got over my radio, and I said, hey, listen, don't you ever call me a janitor again. I'm a professional cleaner, you hear that? I'll never respond to you again. And he's like, well, come here. We got to clean up something in the children's room. So I go down to the children's room first day on the job, and I walk in, and I see puke all over the ground, like throw up. And there's something you need to know about me and throw up. Once I see throw up, I want to throw up. And I talked to the people that were serving there. I say, hey, listen, I ain't cleaning up this. I mean, I'll do what you ask. I'll do anything else but clean up this puke. So I left and I said, you know what? They won't even know if I just peace on out of here. First day of work, clean up baby puke. And 2 weeks notice. Who needs a 2 weeks notice? Man, in 2 weeks, they're going to notice that I ain't here anymore. I was about to just walk out of this building. And another thing that I found when I was a janitor here was the boys' bathroom wasn't the messiest. The girls' bathroom wasn't the messiest. The women's bathroom wasn't the messiest. It was the men's bathroom that was the messiest of them all. I mean, dudes, come on. You pee everywhere but the toilet, and you throw your paper towels everywhere but the trash can. But I believe that's where God was calling me to do. That was my next step in being obedient to Him. So I did it for about a year and a half. And in that time, in that next step, in me fulfilling my purpose that God had for my life, I learned what it means to have humility. I learned what it looked like to be faithful and to work hard. God also showed me that leadership is not about getting praise from people, but leadership is learning to do what nobody else wants to do. And in those seasons, I learned so much. It built so much character within me. And tonight, you need to know that you were designed by God to live with a purpose. God designed you on purpose to live for a greater purpose. Whether that's being a teacher, you walk into that classroom, you say, know what? As for me in my classroom, they will know God. Or maybe God's calling you to be a doctor. You go in your clinic and you say, I wish somebody sick would come in here. Wait till I lay my hands on them. They're going to be running out of here cheering for joy because I am healed. Or maybe God's calling you to be a barista at Starbucks. You better say, you know what? I wish somebody would walk into this Starbucks store with a bad attitude. I'm going to pray over that drink, and they don't know what's going to hit them next. They're going to realize that they're thankful that they could buy a $17 drink. You were designed by God, and you were created by God on purpose for a purpose. So if you're taking notes tonight, I titled my message, The Cost of Becoming. And you're going to need these notes in order to get to heaven. This is like the passport. So if you don't have your passport going to heaven, they won't let you in. So make sure you guys are taking notes. The cost of becoming. Y'all like who you're sitting next to? Huh? Good, because we got 3 more hours. We're going old Baptist style. Don't worry. If you guys are wondering about the snakes, they're coming out at 12 o'clock midnight. So stick around. But the cost of becoming. No matter your skin color, race, ethnicity, or background, all of us were created equal, and God put purpose in our heart. And I want to give you guys 2 quick thoughts about living out and fulfilling your God-given purpose. The first one is this: your purpose requires action. Your purpose requires action. There was a writer in the Old Testament who penned this about our purpose. And this is the most quoted, most tattoo-worthy scripture that people ever have. If you met a Christian, chances are they have this tattoo. Hopefully, it's not on the lower back. But you never know. Maybe they put something like, God loves you, and every time they bend down, it might be an ugly scene, but at least people know that God loves them. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. But King Solomon said this about your purpose in Proverbs 3. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not just some of your heart, but all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Everybody say, in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths or steps. What I found out in life is it's easy to read something. It's easy to say this scripture, but the true test and the challenge comes when we actually have to apply this scripture to our lives. And what Solomon was saying here, he says, God's plan cannot unfold if you seek His plan. His plan will unfold when you seek God. And the will of God is what you will miss out on when you're sitting around obsessing about it. But when you're honoring Him, when you're trusting in Him, when you're walking in faith and saying, God, I'm acknowledging you in all things, He says that He will direct your path. That is a commandment from God. But I feel like sometimes, man, Christians, we're the worst. We only call God when we need him. He's our personal assistant. Oh, man, let me give God a call. He can answer my prayer. Let me DM him right now. I'm sure he'll respond. And we say this, God, I'm going to put you in my favorites. You're in my contacts. You're one of my speed dial people. But the only time we go to our speed dial is when we need something. The only time we DM God is when we want something from him. And I think God, he has something so much more for me and for you. He wants us to acknowledge him when things are going good and when things are going bad. He wants us to acknowledge him in all things when, man, we don't even need him. But it's just because he is God and he created us for a purpose. He created us and he gave us salvation. He has given us his son. What would our lives look like if we acknowledged God in all things? The first point is, man, your purpose requires action. The second point is this, your purpose has a cost. Your purpose has a cost. Every transaction has a cost. And you remember like growing up, let me see a quick hands. You guys remember growing up and you guys like had these crazy dreams of becoming something ridiculous? Like a doctor, let me see some hands. An astronaut, a fireman, a mentor that you looked up to, maybe a teacher, or maybe a stay-at-home dad. Can I get an amen, fellas? Let's go. But we had these dreams of doing something great with our lives. And I remember I had this dream of becoming a professional baseball player. And I loved baseball. And I said, you know what? If I don't become a professional baseball player, I don't know why. I just said, you know what? I'll try preaching. I'll try pastoring. I was kind of like Tim Tebow, maybe just a little bit better at baseball. But I wanted to do something great with my life. But what I found out, in order for me to play at the next level, it required a cost. There was a cost that was associated to where I wanted to go. For every transaction, there is a cost. And I remember the cost was this. Staying in the gym on Friday nights while all my other buddies went hanging out and went to the football games. It was 3-hour-long baseball practices. It was working on my mechanics time and time again. See, I believed what Walt Disney said. If you can dream it, you can do it. But the thing is, Walt Disney never said there's a cost that is associated to fulfilling your dreams. But I still love Walt Disney. I still go to the amusement parks. I still look up to him. But there's a cost that is associated for you to fulfill your God-given dream. And every dream and every purpose has a cost that's associated to it. If you guys are taking notes, write this down. The higher the cost, the greater the purpose. Or the greater the purpose, the higher the cost. And the price you are willing to pay will determine the progress to your purpose. I look at the life of Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life while he was on this earth. And it said that the religious people said that he was a false prophet, so they took him into custody and they were about to crucify him. And that's why we're not big on religion here. It's all about relationships, things that you don't have to do in order to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift. And we say, God, we don't want any of this religious stuff. We don't want to be doing these prayers. We don't have to do this 6 or 7 things to make ourselves right with you. We just want to have a relationship with you where we say, you know what? We're going to mess up, God, but you're going to love us. We're going to try our best, and we know that you are fighting for us. That's what having a relationship with Jesus looks like. It's falling and getting back up again. It's falling and getting back up again. It's falling and standing before God. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And these people, they were persecuting him. They were making fun of him. It said that Jesus was beaten with a leather strap. There was bone chips that was at the end of it. And they were beating him, and he was bruised. And his body was cut open. And then after that, man, they would hit him with clubs. And they made him drag this cross up to the mountain of Skull, up to where he was going to be persecuted. And he was bleeding, and he was weak, and he was suffering, and these people were making fun of him. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. There was a cost that was associated to the purpose of God. And that cost was his own life. In order for us to have salvation, in order for us to have this free gift, there was a cost that was associated to the Savior of the world. And the cost was him hanging on a tree for me and for you. And during that time, the soldiers were casting lots. He was reaching out to his mom and his brothers and saying, I love you. And then the last thing he said was, Alei, Alei, lama shakabunia, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you want to know why God turned his back on his son? So he didn't have to turn his back on me and you. The whole purpose of Christianity and Jesus was to live, to die. And I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you guys want to fulfill your purpose tonight after hearing that? Come on, how many of you guys want to fulfill your purpose after hearing what Jesus has done for you? My God, why have you forsaken me? See, the cost of becoming the Savior of humanity and fulfilling his purpose was his own life. And I think we like the idea of fulfilling our purpose, just like we like the idea of being in a relationship. We like the idea, but we necessarily don't like the commitment. Or we like the idea of going out on dates, but fellas, we don't like the cost that is associated to taking our woman out on a date. And there's some of you tonight that need to take your woman to a real restaurant. I mean, the one where you actually get served and you have to pay a tip, not Burger King and Chipotle. But you need to take your woman to a real restaurant. Chipotle? Moe's. Chipotle. I don't know. What is it? Chipotle. I'm from Beaver County, y'all. We all got lists around here. But we like the idea of marriage. But when your wife asks for the credit card to go buy all of her beauty products and get her hair highlighted and done and all the clothes that she has to have, I'm hypothetically speaking here, but my wife, you want to know what my wife says about our relationship? She said, Zach, you're the high maintenance one in the relationship. You're always wanting something new. You're always wanting the best food. You're always wanting the best outfits. She ain't here to fight it, but I think she's the high maintenance one in the relationship, if you ask me. But you guys like the idea and the concept of moving out of your parents' house, but you don't like the cost that is associated to it. See, the greater the purpose, the greater the cost. And I look at the leaders in the Bible, like David and Moses and Jesus' disciples. Every single one of them had a cost that was associated to their purpose. I look at David, how he had to run from King Saul, from killing him. I look at Moses, how his own people turned from him as he was leading them out of bondage in Egypt. I look at the disciples, how they had the boldness to speak up about the name of Jesus and were dying by the thousands. See, we were created by God on purpose and for a purpose. And in order for you to fulfill your God-given dream, your God-given purpose, and your God-given potential, there's action that is required, and there's a price that we all have to pay. But I want to challenge you guys with this thought tonight, that the cost and the price of not fulfilling your purpose is way greater than the cost and the price than fulfilling your purpose. See, the cost and the price that Jesus paid for me and for you, I humbly say this to my God, and I hope this is your prayer and this is your cry tonight. God, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a purpose for your life. Your purpose is not going to be comfortable. Your purpose is not going to come to you. But God is asking you to take the right steps. God is asking you to make the right decisions. Because God can only bless our steps. God cannot bless us when we're sitting on our hands. So I want to encourage you tonight. I know with all of my heart, because I know you guys, I know majority of you guys, I know that God has plans for your life. I know that he has big things stirring in your heart. And I want to encourage you and say, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on the purpose that God has for your life. Fight through it. Put people around you that says, you know what, we're going to do this together. That's what Thrive is all about. It's about connecting. It's about community. It's about fighting life through together. And I can honestly say, if it was not for my community, I would not be here today. I would have gave up a long time ago. When things got tough and things got hard, I would have checked out. But you need people in your life that are going to say, you know what? I know that God put plans in your heart. I know that he put big things in your heart, and I'm going to see you through it. I'm going to help you accomplish all that is in your heart. So tonight, Thrive, know that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give everybody an invitation tonight to make this Jesus the Lord of your life. Like I was talking about early, man, Jesus paid an ultimate price for me and for you, which was his life, the blood that he shed for me and for you. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it. It's a free gift that you can receive. And tonight you can have that opportunity to receive this awesome gift of salvation. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you tonight, I'm going to give you the count of three to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm just going to simply ask you to raise your hand, and then we're going to pray a simple prayer as a family tonight. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I promise you, your heart's pounding right now because you know that God is tugging on your heart. You know that he has something in store for you. Be bold in raising your hand. Man, this was the best decision that I could have ever made. I was lost, I was broken, and I was confused, and I was heading down the wrong path. But our Savior, our King, our Jesus, he took my hand and he led me to the right way. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you tonight, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, be bold and raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. I see that hand, 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 I see that hand. Hands are going up everywhere. Be bold and raise your hand, and Jesus will come into your heart. Keep your hands raised. Who else? I know there's more. I know God's tugging on your heart right now. You're waiting. You want to have a relationship with him. You want to take that next step. Man, you're living in fear right now, but you want to live in freedom. Go ahead and raise your hand right now. Man, hands are going up everywhere. So with every hand, go ahead and put them back down. I want everybody to to pray this simple prayer after me, and Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Everybody pray this prayer after me. Dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need your grace. Here and now, I repent from my ways, and I turn towards you. May you be Lord and Savior of my life. My life will never be the same because you came in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give it up for those people. Awesome.